Hi there, Let's Talk Sports fans. Thanks for tuning in to an episode of our Let's Talk Sports Roundtable and a little bit of a different show format this week, Asar, and your first appearance on the Roundtable. Thanks for joining me today.
It's good to be here. Just got off a show not too long ago, and Carlos interjected and made that show good too on Deep Takes from Three. But it's good to be here. You know, as always, I wish it was under better circumstances in certain respects. But it's always good to talk sports with you in any capacity. So,
yeah, definitely, and I'm glad Carlos is supporting your product, and I'm sure he chimed in with many comments, which always helps with flow of the show.
Absolutely, yes, he sure did. He sure did.
So if we get started with the Knicks, first of all, we'll have a bit of a variety of topics today. Probably the brightest point of the week, and I'm going to be honest, probably the brightest point of the season, yeah. RJ Barrett had a hell of a game a couple of nights ago, and he keeps beating his PB, and that's what you want from a ascending young star. And to be honest with you, he is the only reason to watch the Knicks at the moment. But that said, it does shine a light on that game raced these early years if they don't put not just more talent around him, but also have the organization to do all they can to help him as well. From my point of view,
you're right. And like you said, like, and I was saying in the past couple of weeks, the only reason why I watch the Knicks anymore is just for the young fellas, especially RJ. And you see his confidence building even in defeat. He's able to take more of the responsibility. He still steps up on defense. I mean, you saw him have a rough night against Harden and Embiid, and boy, what a game. Like, you know, that duo is something. We were just talking about that too. But RJ is ready to take the reins. And like I said, I wish he was able to do it without Julius Randle, you know, without him being there. I was hoping he would be traded, because I'm just ready just to hand the keys to RJ, to be honest, and let him prosper and use this season to grow. But still, the only numbers that matter, he scored above 40 points. He's been a consistent 20-plus points per game score. If we could get that out of him heading into next season and he becomes a 25-point-per-game guy, 5-5, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. One downside of the same game, though, was Quinnen Grimes' injury. But only blessing is that it's not as serious as it could be, as we sort of feared when it happened, but it's definitely a bummer, because that was one of the points of we're struggling, let's get Grimes some minutes. And it doesn't even seem like with the injury that it'll mean an uptake in Redis's minutes, because the rotation didn't seem affected from his point of view. Exactly.
I mean, at this point, I'm not even too concerned, as long as it's nothing like career threatening or like that's gonna hinder his ability moving forward, it's fine. Just spread out the minutes accordingly. You know, I'm not saying try to lose, that's not what I'm saying. You know, when I say I'm done with the season, I'm not saying tank really, I'm just saying live and die with the young fellas, let them develop, and whatever happens, you live with the result. We're not doing anything in the playoffs. We're not making the playoffs. We're probably not even going to make the play-in. And even if we did, we're not a threat right now. You know, I wish we could say otherwise. I was super optimistic early on. Took me a long time to just admit that this team wasn't good, because I was just hanging on to what I saw last year. So when it comes to Grimes, I mean, I'm glad he's okay. And, you know, but he's more of a next season type of, you know, type of guy. Look, Grimes, quickly. You know, RJ, Obi, McBride, you know, these are the guys that matter right now. So,
yeah, I've got some thoughts on McBride in a minute, but Grimes, I would like to see him have some moments rest of the season, but I know he is a building block for the future. I would like to see him play more than some of these veterans, but that isn't going to happen. I agree with you. The season's over. I would like to see some of these young players develop a little bit, but I've seen enough from Grimes. There's other players what I'd like to see played a little more, and some of these older players played less, but I don't think that's going to happen at the moment. But before we get to that, a live comment from Luca, just asking how we're doing and keep up the great work. Luca has his own channel. This is Luca's Life, so head over there and check it out over on YouTube.
Not Donnick, right? But shout out, Luca.
One topic what is up for discussion is the point guard situation. Tibbs seems intent on playing Alec Burks as the starting point guard. Even with Derrick Rose's injury period being extended, Kemba's out of the rotation. I'm going to be honest, I hate this move, and this says everything about, shall we say, some people like Carlos, what are probably not very pro-Tibbs, and they have a point here. This is just the wrong move from every way. To me, McBride needs to be in the rotation. I'm not saying start him. I would like to see Quickly given an extended role as a starting point guard, because we spoke about this last week. If they don't start giving him more minutes and more responsibility, I think they might stifle his progression. I think he could be special. I'm not saying a franchise starting point guard, but certainly a very good point guard, whether that's off the bench or starting. And this is the time to do it. Like you said, the season's kind of over. So it's not even tanking, because to me, you're actually progressing the future of the side by playing Quickly.
Exactly. And that's really it. You don't want to extend this rebuild into next season more than you have to. We still have high expectations for this core of players. So it would be nice to take some steps forward this season so you're better prepared for next season. But, and, you know, unfortunately, this is something that's always been said about Tibbs, by the way, that stubborn mentality. Like, yeah, you know, like you're thinking this is your best product that you're putting on the floor to win a game, and it's not. I don't think Alec Burks has ever been meant to be a point guard. You know, like, he's somebody you want off the ball, catch and shoot, feeding off somebody. Granted, they don't really have anybody right now to run point guard aside from, hello, Quickly and McBride. So, you know, that's what we're doing. So basically what's happening, it's almost like he's setting up this, what we should be doing now, we'll end up doing like in the beginning of next season and take a backseat there. I feel like that's when, because, you know, don't get it twisted. Once we start Grimes, Quickly, those guys, it's not like we're going to start winning games, but it's about getting the minutes under their belt, getting the experience under the belt, so they're more prepared for next season. And, you know, it's just not going to happen. And I feel like what I take from it, I don't think Tibbs buys into the long-term plan, because I don't think he particularly cares. I feel like I'm starting to sense that he feels that he's on his way out. And there's been rumors lately about him being on the hot seat. So in his mind, it's like, why should I care about building towards next season when I'm probably not going to be there anyway? So let me try to get as many wins on my coaching record as possible, but it's not working out. So if that's his plan, it's not really, you know, doesn't appear to be the most, I don't know what the word is, logistically correct. I don't know.
He's not being pragmatic. I agree with you. I think he senses the end's near. To be honest with you, the best chance of keeping the job is to show that he's not as stubborn, put the sort of cat amongst the pigeons, if you will, and play the young guys, show them that you've got a different side to them. That's not in his makeup. He won't do it. But if he showed some change, that may well, because being coach of the year last year, if he can show that, yes, this year ain't gone right, but I can show change, and that might change things. But I don't know. I do blame Tibbs, and we've said this on a few of the recent shows, but I do also blame, it comes back to the front office as well, not just how they built this roster, but because they didn't move the veterans out. It was at the trade deadline. The die was always already cast that Tibbs was being stubborn, not playing some of the young guys. Well, take it out of his hand. If you move some of these players, then he would have had to play with young guys if they were the ones in the rotation.
Exactly. And I will never forgive the Knicks for not trading Mitchell Robinson. The only way to come back from this, if they somehow trade Nerlens Noel and maybe Fournier and you sign him to but I just don't see it happening. So I'll never forgive them about that. But yeah, and then of course, not moving Fournier. I understand it's not easy to move a guy like Fournier with his contract. And Kemba doesn't really have any real value at this point. You know what I mean? So I understand. But Mitchell Robinson, that I'll never forget that.
I agree. I think, to be honest with you, what they should have done is move Burks out if they could. I think they could have got by Robinson. And with the situation, how it's eroded, I think they could have moved Randall. They wouldn't have got what they once was. One of the new contributors on the network says, after a hell of a year last year, tough to kick him out of the Knicks. I agree with you, Tanner. And I'm a free pro. I campaigned for Tibbs to get the job, and I loved what he did last year. And even up to a month ago, I was like, well, this year's sort of a write-off. We've got to give him. See, if next year's the same, then get rid of him. But the problem is, he's being so stubborn. He isn't the only reason why the Knicks are losing, but he's certainly not helping any stifling the future. So whereas I agree with you, it's hard after last year. It may be what they need to do. But that said, the blame doesn't just lie with him. Leon Rose, we said this last week, he's built this roster terrible. Enough speaking about making aggressive moves and leaving no stone unturned. If Thibodeau is removed at the end of the season, then he needs to be as aggressive as hell moving some of these players who ain't part of the future out and bringing in some players who is, starting with a point guard, whether it's drafting one or bringing one in. He's got to be aggressive because he's been in the job long enough that he's got to be the answer, not just talk a big game.
Yeah. And it's like we've been saying the same thing about the Knicks for years, though, prior to even Leon Rose getting there. Like, point guard, we need to be aggressive. So I was starting to believe that this was a new Knicks, like a new Knicks. This is not the Knicks that I've been dealing with for the past couple of years. So, and I've been campaigning. Like, I wrote a whole article before, like in the Chris Paul article that I shared last week, right? What did I say? I said the possible biggest signing of the Knicks, for the Knicks of the past 10 years, and maybe even longer. I mean, maybe since Stoudemire, maybe even prior, was Worldwide West. I feel like that was the biggest signing because I'm like, okay, he's going to revamp the Knicks and he's going to change it. And to an extent, he did. And I do agree with Tanner saying that it's tough to just kick Tibbs out. I agree with that. I do, because like you said, we've both been pro Tibbs, and it's like he did bring us back to relevancy. So when his time to go comes, I will be thankful. And I am, but the landscape of the team has changed. I don't think he's really built for the direction that we're heading in. And I think he would agree with that. I think he would co-sign that. So,
Great.
So,
But that said, Raw World Rest has to bring in, he needs to start earning his money this year. Yes. They need to do something big. I've had enough of them. This is going to sound harsh, but playing games, they need to bring the A game, because if Thibodeau is removed, that's just how I feel. I feel the same about, it's a different sport, but with the Jets, with Joe Douglas, when you're 3 years in, there's enough. You've got to start acting like you're the GM. While we're on the subject, Tanner, as like I say, joined the network. He had him, the guys have a podcast, Sport Buffoons, and as you can guess by the name, it's talking sports but not taking it too seriously, which fits our mantra here. So please go check him out. He's going to be doing lots of content. I know he's running a mock draft, which he's trying to get some members of the community involved. So please do check out the group page when he's asking for help. And thanks for your support, Tanner. Changing tact a little bit quickly to MLB, CBA, because I know you need... I know you need to get out of here, but we can cover this pretty quickly. Unless something's changed in the last 15 minutes, which I doubt it, there's no real movement on the CBA. Oh, you've got... We ain't talked about this on air. We have a little bit off air, but you've got millionaires and billionaires arguing over money. And I got told, I remember midsummer last year, I got told by a couple of journalists that the owners privately told their people and other agents to prepare for a lockout because... This deal's going to be hard to be done. And to be honest with you, everything they've said was true. I don't see us getting a season on time, to be honest with you. I think best case scenario is June, maybe. But they've got to think about this very carefully because some fans may not return to a sport if the season don't start, particularly with the cost of living and so forth. People can be very angry, and I don't think they realize what may happen.
Yeah, like personally, I am pro player in this instance, but it's not like pretty on either side, right? But I do emphasize that the players stepping up for like the minor leaguers that are making. And, you know, I see the argument all the time, like, well, yeah, these guys are still making six figures, you know, and I hear you, but with the amount of money that's being made in MLB, like they're definitely underpaid in comparison to their contemporaries. So it's like, it's ugly though. And I don't think the thing is, there's no budge on either side. It seems like very little.
I agree with you. I'm on the player's side more than anything, but I think this is where they've got to be strong and say, look, we're the stars of the league. You've got no product without him. And the problem is they wasn't strong last time. And because of that, they want to claw some of it back. But the owners are saying, well, we pulled their pants down effectively last time. Let's do it again. We want more money. And they know the union ain't that strong, so they probably can. And the problem is, if there's a part of the season they don't want, it's the early part of the season. So that's... Well, I agree with you. I think, I do err on the player's side. And I also do like you said, that they're sticking up for the minor league. But the problem is they've sort of allowed owners to have their way for too long. So the owners know eventually they'll probably give in for very little gain.
Yeah, in the end, I feel like they will. And, you know, as a fan, like, because I don't, you know, we don't particularly care about the money situation for the most part, right? But what I do, I mean, I do want to see these minor leaguers taken care of. But what I will say is I don't blame the players taking time, because, like, you want to be able to weed out all of the, like, for example, service time manipulation. Like, that's one of the big things for me. I don't want to see guys stuck in there for, you know, 6 years and then, you know, you debut them half, you know, somewhere in the middle of the season. Like, look at Aaron Judge, for example. I mean, as a Yankee fan, I'm glad he's here. But he's about to get his big payday at, you know, probably 30, 31 years old or so. I mean, he would have liked to get paid early on. But then you see a lot of guys who aren't the same as they were when they get to their sixth year. And I guess that's on them. There's a whole bunch of rambling. This whole situation is a big ramble. But I think, you know, I'm – and by the way, I just wanted to comment. I am starting to believe like what you're saying, talking about like July. Like I could see it because, you know, if they say they do strike a deal come June, and that's being optimistic because as of right now, they seem so far apart. Then, you know, they're going to have like an abbreviated spring training. This is like 2020 all over again. We're probably going to get like 3 months of Aaron Judge, and then it's, are we going to keep him or not as a Yankee fan? It sucks, man. And you know what? But this is the sport that, by the way, baseball is my favorite sport. The Yankees are my favorite team in all of sports. But baseball is such a tarnished sport, and it sucks, man. And then this is a thing that, this is just what baseball is, man. So I'm not really shocked. I'm not even disappointed because this is what I expected, you know? So
yeah, Audrey and Tanner sort of kind of agrees with you. Says really the players have given him the last two CBAs, which that's the problem. They know they will give in. And Keith, one of my co-hosts for my New York sports show, made the point. He said one of the problems he feels is the active players in higher up the players and negotiation are always players what have already got paid. So maybe they lead the players down the wrong path because they can afford it, if that makes sense. So they take nick on dime stuff for stuff what does them good, but don't necessarily do the guys at the more the bottom of the roster some good. And that's sort of where, sort of what you're saying, where you're pro player, and it's not every player what's making that fast amount of money.
Exactly. And the money is there, you know, like if we're going to get on anybody, like for, you know, I feel like most people are on the wrong side. Like if you're going to pick a side, are you, yeah, you're siding with the billionaires versus the millionaires. I mean, but it's not really, it's, that's such a lazy way of putting it too. You know, like a lot, yeah, of people putting it. So it's like, there's so much into it. Even I don't understand every little corner and aspect of it. All I know is the owners are making like 10 times more, if that, and they're not the ones putting the butts in the seats.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you. I mean, the players are closer to the everyday man. Let's be honest, they were us. But it's one of those where they've got to realize they are the start. They've got to be willing to lose a bit maybe for a season. Yeah. And maybe if it's going to be a shortened season, call the owner's bluff and say, okay, maybe we rang over season this year. You rang over playoff money. You rang over TV money. Don't give him once they've took you down that off that deadline and cost you money. You may cost yourself a little bit of money, but I think they've got to say, okay, you want to play hardball? We will play even harder. Well, I don't know. Perhaps I'm being unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, Moneyball at this point. That's what we got to play. Because, yeah, you know, you got to – because, look, the owners, for the most part, they're not interested – like, let's be honest. The majority of them are not interested in the quality of the game or, like, the betterment of the game. Yeah. It's the bottom line. So you're exactly right. You want to get to them, you got to affect their bottom line. It's going to hurt you too, though, you know. So that's where, you know, their income is more long-term than the players, you know. So I understand maybe if there's a little bit of pushback. But yeah, the only way to get this done at the end of the day, as long as they make enough at the end of the year, they want to make as much as they possibly can. So if the cutback, I mean, if they're going to make more with sitting out the season, they're going to do that. But if they're going to lose more, that's how they'll do it, you know.
Yeah. Audrey,
with the pushback, yeah.
Audrey, as Tanner said, they'll lose money with the pushback. It's a balance, and actually, we'll say, I'm sure this is something we'll talk about again because, let's be honest, there's not any movement with the deal. Before we wrap things up, so me and Asar, we will share details later, but if there is a season we are looking at, especially, as the NBA season closes, we will do a Yankee show, talking Yankees. Probably will be the same time slot. We'll share details as we get nearer, but I'm excited about this. I know it's something Asar's very passionate about, and Looking forward to adding it to the community.
Listen, if you think I get angry about my Knicks, and we understand what that team is, the expectations for the Yankees are 1,000 times higher. So, you know, it's going to get a lot more, I mean, hopefully a lot more positive, but there's been reason for me to be frustrated with the Yankees over the past year, couple of years, actually. So go Royals. I see. I respect the small market teams. I do. I'm not the toxic Yankee fan. That's a lie. Yes, I am. Let's go Yankees.
So. I'm going to be honest. I agree with you. I like the small market team. To be honest with you, outside of the Yankees, my favorite side, even though it's in the division to root for, is the Tampa Bay Rays, just because I respect how they built it. So I'm looking forward to see how they develop, and I'm sure we'll talk Royals at some point, Tanner, as you become more active in the community. But we're very excited about the show. Obviously, we'll share details as we get closer, but who knows, it may, the launching of the show may get postponed to 2023, who can say, but whatever, we will, it'll be launched at some point, and we're just looking forward to feedback from the community. We've got a lot of Yankees fans in the community, I know. So have you got anything planned at Athletes Hub this week? I know you had the show earlier on.
Just a few articles, as always. I'm not sure. I mean, I personally, I'm thinking of what to do next, but just the typical shows every Monday and Thursday. Of course, they got the False Nine. And then, of course, we'll be back here, hopefully, with news. I mean, like you said, there's not much to really, for me, like, I got to feel what I'm writing about. I'm not just going to write for news. You know, I need to believe it, and the Knicks are beating me down this year. And you know, and then the Yankees, there's not much in baseball. So it's like, oh, I've been going through it over here. My sports life has been really dry. And then I'm a Jets fan, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, so, I do. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I suggested this show, a bit of change of tack, because there's only so many times you can say, oh, the rotation isn't great, we're losing. RJ Barrett's great, though. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing it. Or with you, everyone, head over to Athletes Hub and check out Asar's content. I will share a link, as always, in the group page. And go over, give Asar a follow. And as always, we will be working on ways we can maybe collab with Athletes Hub, promote what they're doing and share our community. But thank you to everyone for joining us. Tanner, thanks so much for commenting, it does help. And we're glad to have you.
You know, Carlos is probably still winded from earlier shows, so Tanner had to come in, you know, and take his place.
I was going to say, I don't know. Who knows? Perhaps he's off watching film of Tibbs to point out all the frailties of his coaching. But we'll be back next Monday. Thank you to everyone for joining us. And until next time, let's talk sport, fans.